we can receive a plenary indulgence for those holy souls in purgatory by visiting a cemetery, praying for the dead. There is a lot of confusion very often on what some of the conditions are for indulgences, but talk about the real spiritual gift we can give to the souls in purgatory, our own family members, in this first week of November coming up.
Yeah, as you mentioned, there is this indulgence that's attached to visiting cemeteries from November 1st to November 8th. It's in the Enchiridion of Indulgences, which kind of is the catalog of all these pious acts. And indulgences really just mean that through the merits of the saints that there's this storehouse of grace that God wants to dispense. And this is really, I think, one of the forgotten devotional practices of the church. Of course, there are lots of ways people can earn a partial indulgence or whatever through scripture reading, the rosary, adoration, stations, etc. And the cemetery visits, though, is a very special thing because oftentimes we try to obtain this indulgence for ourselves, for the remission of our past sins and the temporal punishment and all these things. I think especially of the Divine Mercy devotion, that the indulgence is attached to that as well. But this devotion of visiting cemeteries, the indulgence is only applicable to the holy souls in purgatory. And so a person who visits the cemeteries does it on behalf of someone else. And so whether that's your family members, maybe you name that person, or maybe you just submit it to God's mercy and say, I'm doing this pious act, Almighty God, and the church says that you give an indulgence, and I wish you to give the merits of what I'm doing to someone else, and whoever is in greatest need in purgatory, so that now they might have their home forever in heaven. So it's a very special devotion, and it's one that I've promoted in the parishes that I've been at, and now I'm in my third year at the current parish, and I happen to oversee 8 cemeteries. And so It's very easy to schedule a cemetery visit for each one of them. And it brings together people to pray for their beloved dead, their family members, and really unites communities as well, has been my experience.
Father Looney, as I was mentioning in the introduction to you, my family members are across 3 cemeteries in 2 towns, and I visit them every week. And there is a real peace that comes over me, not only knowing that I can pray for their souls, but also, you remember what they have done to help you make you the Catholic you are today.
Definitely. And when we visit a cemetery, when we visit our loved ones, that's what we do. We give thanks to God for the life and the role that they had in our life. And we know that as we pray for them, and maybe as we visit the cemetery, we say a little prayer, maybe eternal rest grant unto them, O Lord, or some other prayer, thanking God, asking God to be merciful. But we also know that when we pray for them, that they also can pray for us, that no matter their place in eternity, purgatory, heaven, that they can pray for us. And, you know, Susan Tassoni always pointed out to me that when we pray for the holy souls, when we have masses offered for them, you know, sometimes we might say, well, this person surely must be in heaven. We've been praying for them for years. She always tells me, don't relent, keep praying, because there's this increase of accidental glory, that the efficacy of their intercessory power in heaven becomes even greater when we continue to pray for their soul. So no prayer that we offer for our dead, for our loved ones, is ever lost or ever in vain.
When you go to the cemetery, isn't it interesting to look at other gravestones? I did that last Friday. Yeah, last Friday when I was visiting Mom and Dad. And got to look at some of the other gravestones there that I've seen certainly over the years, but started praying for those souls as well at the cemetery, because, you know, we're hopeful that we'll all meet in heaven. But again, it's one of those great gifts that you can give back to not only your family, but even people that you don't know when you visit a cemetery.
Yeah, you know, one of the things I love to do is just to walk around a cemetery. And, you know, so I'll visit the graves of the people that I know, and then I'll walk. And so sometimes when I visit my hometown, I'll go from my mother's grave where I park my car, then I go down to our family plot where my grandmother and her relatives are all buried. And so then I visit that, and then I go and I walk around the cemetery, and I make stops along the way. I'll stop and I'll visit, you know, our next door neighbor, the lady that took me on a pilgrimage, these people that I know that went to daily mass, these, you know, people that were my religious education teachers or my teacher in school, you know, so I'll make those little stops along the way and just remember all the ways that those people touched my life and again, you know, moved to that Thanksgiving. And even as a pastor of a parish, I'll walk around the cemeteries now, and being here for 3 years, I've buried a good number of people. And so looking at the grave marker and saying, oh, that's a funeral I celebrate, and remembering their family and praying for them. And it's always something that's very spiritually enriching for me. But as you mentioned, walking around and seeing the gravestones, some of them are very ornate. Some of them are very beautiful. They oftentimes will capture the person. Sometimes they're devotional, so they might have an image of the Blessed Virgin or the Sacred Heart. Or there's one in a cemetery that I have that is huge, and it's got St. Therese of Lisieux, and I think it's a very beautiful stone. And then there are others that maybe farming was important, and so there's like this picture of a farm, or maybe it's even a picture of their farm. And so there's always a little story behind these gravestones that we don't know, but we're able to see and admire.
One of the times we often go is Memorial Day weekend, and in the spring after a long Minnesota winter, doing some care. One of the two cemeteries I'll visit is immaculately cared for, and it's smaller, but a really large one that many family members are in. It's kind of up to the families to take care of the grave markers, and there's one next to my great-grandparents that they passed away in the 50s, and never gets taken care of. So we've kind of adopted that one. So that's kind of a nice thing we can do as well. But more interesting, I think, actually, in wandering around a few years ago with one of my teenage daughters at the time, noticing some of the short lives, you know, that there was an infant there, and maybe the death of the infant was the same time as the what looked to be the mother. And then you start to imagine some of these stories, and that, of course, gives you much to pray for as well.
Yeah, the notion of imagining a person's story, right, when we go to the cemetery, and these are people that are unknown to us, and go to the older part of a cemetery, and you'll see the people who are buried there from the late 1800s, and you're like, I wonder if they have any family left. Is anybody remembering them? And there's a song that I just really love by an Irish band called the High Kings, and the song is called The Greenfields of France. And what happens in that song, it's really an Irish ballad, and they have two versions, a very fast version on their new album, but a very old version on the Memory Lane album, which is very slow and kind of captures the somberness of the song. But it really captures this person going and walking in a cemetery, and it recounts the life of Willie McBride, who was only 19 when he died as a soldier. And there's a verse that says, "And did you leave a wife or sweetheart behind? And some faithful heart is your memory enshrined. Although you died back in 1916, in that faithful heart are you forever 19? Or are you a stranger without even a name, enclosed then forever behind a glass pane in an old photograph, torn, battered, and stained, and faded to yellow in a brown leather frame?" So really, this person who's sitting down at this graveside of Willie McBride has no idea who he is, begins to imagine in his life, well, who's missing you right now? Or are you a person forgotten in history? But by the very fact of being there, he is remembering him and trying to keep his memory alive, even if it's not even the true memory. And so caring for those graves, as you mentioned, and imagining the loss of a mother losing their child, and those are all things that really, the tenderness of our heart, that it goes out to those people, those families, as we remember them.
With Father Edward Looney this morning on Morning Air, we're talking about praying for the dead and cemetery visits. Of course, November, the month of All Souls. Saturday is All Souls Day. How do you pray for the dead in your family, and how often do you visit the cemetery, and what are some of the things that you do when you go to the cemetery? Do you use your imagination? Do you look at the gravestones or walk by the graves of family and friends, as many of us do? 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149, as we continue our conversation with Father Edward Looney. After we hear today's gospel, which compares the kingdom of heaven to the mustard seed, our gospel from the 13th chapter of Luke, on Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
This is today's gospel reading from the New American Bible.
Luke
chapter 13, verses 18 through 21. Jesus said, "What is the kingdom of God like? To what can I compare it? It is like a mustard seed that a man took and planted in the garden. When it was fully grown, it became a large bush, and the birds of the sky dwelt in its branches." Again he said, "To what shall I compare the kingdom of God? It is like yeast that a woman took and mixed in with 3 measures of wheat flour until the whole batch of dough was leavened."
You can find all the daily readings at relevantradio.com/gospel or tap the prayer tab on the Relevant Radio app.
Good morning. It's 18 after the hour. It's morning air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. Looking to the month of November, the month of All Souls, Saturday All Souls Day, and praying for those souls, and also visiting cemeteries as well. When you make a cemetery visit, what do you do? Do you pray as you walk? Do you use your imagination? Maybe you've actually spruced up some of those grave sites that need some help. Perhaps they've been neglected for a period of time. And we're talking about praying for the dead and cemetery visits with Father Edward Looney, who is online at edwardlooney.com. Father is a priest of the Diocese of Green Bay, Wisconsin. And talking about what you do when you visit cemeteries at 888-914-9149. How often do you go to visit family members and friends? Do you pray for a plenary indulgence for them, which is one that which you can get for them during the first week of November? Let us know. 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. There's such a peace in visiting or walking around a cemetery. I don't know if you find that, Father Looney. And it's a peace that is not only calming for yourself, but in my experience, it really lets the Holy Spirit in and brings you to a new level of prayer, not only for those souls right now, but really to look at and evaluate where you're going in your life on your path to heaven.
Definitely. There was a time this past summer where kind of I was very perplexed. I was overwhelmed by something, and I said, I just need to get away and to clear my mind. And sure, I could have went to an adoration chapel. I could have went to the National Shrine of Our Lady of Good Help. But there was something in my mind that just said, well, maybe I should make the hour drive to my hometown and walk the cemetery and visit the graves of my loved ones. And as I did that, I did make that drive. I walked the cemetery. I walked around praying the rosary. But it really allowed me to, it gave me the space to clear my mind, to pray. And I think there's something very special about being surrounded by all these people who have gone to their eternal reward, and that as I am praying there, as I am meditating, as I'm praying the rosary, well, they're there too, and they can pray with me, and they can pray for me, and maybe that's why it's such a peaceful place, why it's so serene and conducive to prayer if we allow a cemetery to be that, because the cemetery is really a sign of hope that what we have in this life, that there's something even more, there's something even better out there, that from the grave where our loved one is buried, that in the resurrection of the dead on the last day that we profess in the creed, that God is going to raise us up from that grave in the resurrection of the body. And so that's why the cemeteries are a place of hope and a great place, I think, that allows me to pray and to experience that peace of heart, mind, and soul that sometimes I look for.
And when I was standing in front of the grave of Mom and Dad just a couple of days ago, I was thinking about those moments when they went from this life to their first moment in eternal life. And I picture Mary taking them by the hand to Jesus at that very moment in time.
Yes, and, you know, maybe I'll tell two little anecdotes about that. So the first one is that I had a funeral for a young man in his 30s last year who died of colon cancer, and his last moments in life, he began to say, I think I'm dying, and then he did. He took his last breath, but as he took his last breath, he said the name of Jesus. And so I often, you know, have gone back to that moment as I heard that story from the family, because I believe that as he said the name Jesus, he must have encountered the one that he believed in, the Lord and Savior that he professed belief, that he received in the Eucharist. And so that's why he said the name of Jesus. But secondly, as you mentioned, Mary and our loved ones, you know, Padre Pio said that he would stand at the gates of heaven until until all his spiritual children entered in. And I wrote a piece that's not published yet. It's going to go on Catholic Digest in a few days, but it's about how I did ancestry DNA, and by doing ancestry DNA, I found out that my mother, who was adopted, had another sister that was also put up for adoption. Never knew each other in this life, never knew their birth mother, and so now I found out that I have this first cousin. And, you know, doing the ancestry DNA has allowed me to pray for all these family members that I never knew that I had, to pray for this cousin's mother and family and grandparents and all these things that I discovered through doing that simple test by spitting in the tube and sending it off. But I imagine that, you know, because the birth mother never knew her birth children in this life, that perhaps she stood there, you know, at her place in eternity, waiting for that moment in which she would meet her children that she gave up for adoption. And so there is that sense of a homecoming, as you mentioned, like thinking about our parents, encountering the Lord Jesus, the Blessed Mother, the saints, maybe even thinking about that reunion that might happen between family members, husbands and wives that have preceded each other in that moment that they know that they're with each other again. It's a beautiful moment, I think, to think about.
Father, maybe you'll inspire me to send in, we have kits that have been sitting around the house for quite a while, and I'm adopted, and so that would be very interesting to see who I'm, you know, actually related to physically, but I'm worried about my criminal past coming out. No, not really.
His accordion past coming out.
My kids are like, send it in. They haven't done that yet. But wanted to say, we're talking about experiencing a cemetery, and there's something St. Cloud, Minnesota area homeschoolers are doing, a Back from the Dead Cemetery Walk. They're doing it October 30th, and again, the second. Participants will walk through a cemetery, encounter martyrs, saints, and others who relay their stories about the last things. They're just kind of an interesting way to speak to youth about death, as opposed to totally ignoring it.
Yeah, that's a wonderful event, and you know, they're exposing them to the stories of the saints, the martyrs. In my hometown, for a number of years, they did what they called a cemetery walk, and it was a secular thing. It wasn't a religious event, but it brought people to the local cemeteries. And it allowed those attending to, you know, they had actors, it was put on by the Historical Society, but they would dress up and tell the story of some of the more prominent people of the community, you know, the lady that had a bakery, or the first mayor of the town, or all these significant people. And so it was revisiting the past and, you know, allowing the dead really to speak to us, to tell their story. And I remember that I did that, and then this was a few years ago, but then the readings, which actually just repeated a few weeks ago, was the rich man saying, you know, send somebody back from the dead to warn my family, and it just made me think of what would be the messages that the dead people in our life would tell us from the grave. What would they say to us? And that's maybe something we think about, too, when we go to a cemetery, you know, the lives of these people, and what do they want to tell us now, today?
Good point. At 25 after the hour with Father Edward Looney, a priest of the Diocese of Green Bay, Wisconsin, we're talking about praying for the dead and cemetery visits, and Joseph is joining the conversation in Yonkers, New York. Joseph, good morning. You're on with Father Looney, and welcome to Morning Air.
Good morning. My question is, what happens to someone who has no family or a very small family, has no one to pray for him, as compared to someone who has a large family and can have dozens of people praying for him?
Sure, that's a great question. And I think that there's a few ways we could think about that. So, of course, you know, that's the great thing about our Catholic tradition, that we always are praying for the dead, remembering them, offering masses, all these things. And so there are lots of people being prayed for, but we also remember that there are lots of people not being prayed for. So maybe we offer a prayer for those who have no one to pray for them. But the beautiful thing about our Catholic faith is that every Sunday at Mass, there's always an intention for the living and deceased members of our parish. And so that's called the Missa de Pro Populo, or the Mass for the people. And so there's never a person not being prayed for in the Catholic parish. And we realize that the Catholic parish is not just those who profess the Catholic faith, but canon law says that the pastor has the responsibility for all souls in his territory, and that means that he is responsible for praying for all those who have died, those who profess the Catholic faith, those who are not. And so I would argue that those people are included in our masses every weekend, and so there's never a person not being prayed for. We're always remembering all of the dead, no matter if someone is intentionally praying for them or if their prayer is kind of in this group. So I think that can set our minds at peace, maybe, for people who have no one to pray for them.
And Joseph, after receiving Eucharist, and I know many of our Relevant Radio listeners do the same thing, I include those lost souls in purgatory in my prayers as well. Joseph, you will be in our prayers. Thanks for listening this morning with Father Edward Looney here on Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. Again, for those who are just joining the conversation, we began by talking about the plenary indulgences when the usual conditions are met for the holy souls in purgatory. From November 1st through November 8th. Just explain what those are again.
Sure. So kind of the indulgences would be to be in a state of grace, make a confession within 7 to 14 days of doing that, but to make a profession of faith, to pray the Apostles' Creed, to pray the Our Father, Hail Mary and Glory Be for the intentions of the Holy Father. And so in my mind, I think those are the conditions. And sometimes we might say, well, can I ever really meet the conditions for an indulgence? And I think that's something we just have to entrust to the mercy of God, to say that, God, I'm doing this out of love for you and out of love for the dead, and I pray that you receive it and that you know my intention and that I'm trying to do the best that I can in order to offer this for the holy souls, or you know, throughout the years we offer or try to attain indulgences ourselves.
And as you pray for those plenary indulgences for friends or family members in this first week of November, again, you have to remember that God answers that in his time. It's not an instantaneous go right from purgatory to heaven moment there, that, you know, God in his time will bring that soul to him.
Yes, and God is outside of time, and so
right.
God, who knows all things, maybe he already saw in advance that we were going to do this. And so the soul of our loved one is already delivered. And so, yeah, I don't think we need to get hung up on time. Just the pious act is what's most important.